There we go. That was a blessing. And it's true, he does give more grace. One of the much mores of the Bible is his grace. Open your Bible tonight to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We shall begin to read in verse number 1 and read all 21 verses. And I want to speak to you tonight on a very important subject. And as we draw nearer to the coming of Jesus Christ, it becomes more and more important. Whether or not you know it, we live in a spirit world. I copied down this afternoon more than 100 verses dealing with spirits, evil spirits, and devils having to do with the spirit world that is around us. More than 100 verses. We are commanded in the Scripture to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Spirit of darkness, the prince and the power of the air. And I'm afraid too many Christians are affected more by the spirits that are against Christ than we are by the Holy Spirit of God that is to help us live and walk for Christ. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while on the subject of trying the spirits. Now, in our Bible, we talk about demon possession, but the word demon is not used. It's devils, or evil spirits, or seducing spirits, are just spirits. And I want to talk to you about tonight about being able to discern between those that are a blessing and a help in our life and those that are not. Now, I want to tell you right up front, I do not believe, and I believe it's stated and set forth in principle in the chapter that we're going to read tonight, that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. That means the devils, these evil spirits, cannot inhabit our body and live in our body. And why? The why of that is because when we get saved, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. And there is no dwelling place that where the Holy Spirit of God and spirits of devils and evil spirits can coexist together. When Satan sinned, he and one third of the angelic hosts that followed him in rebellion were cast out of heaven because there's no place found for them there among God's people and God's program and where God dwells. And there's no place for them in the life and the body of the Christian because the Holy Spirit lives there. But I want you to know they can harass us, influence us, hurt us, deceive us, trick us, and do great harm to the Christian life. And we'd better be able to discern between the real and the unreal. Stand with me, if you will, as I begin to read in verse number 1 of chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, he's speaking to Christians. He's writing to Christians, to the people of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. You see, there's more than just the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. The saved person has overcome these evil spirits. We have the ability to resist them and to be victorious over them. And here's the reason we cannot be possessed of them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, the saved. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now keep in mind, the same context is the spirits. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now that's talking about loving other born again Christians. It's not talking about loving everybody of religion. It's not talking about loving and condoning everything that goes on in the world in the name of love. Because, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we who love God love his brother also. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of trying the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Hey, everything that goes on in the name of church and religion is not of God. Everything that is Spirit-led is not necessarily Holy Spirit-led. We must try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. These false prophets are controlled by evil spirits, false spirits, spirits that are not of God. And we need to be able to discern between the real and the unreal, those that are of God and those that are not of God. And I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes tonight. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where it's imperative that your children know enough about the Word of God to be able to discern the real from the unreal, God's real from Satan's counterfeit. Speak to our heart tonight. We're living in a day when the Bible is under attack, and churches are using so many different versions of Scripture, they don't know what to believe. And Lord, this is no accident in these days, because if the devil can take away the authority of Scripture, then we cannot know right from wrong, what to believe and what not to believe, or the Holy Spirit's leadership and God's Spirit's leadership from false spirits and evil spirits and spirits of devils. Now, Lord, we need your help. Help me to speak clearly and plainly. And may the Word of God take precedent over all our thoughts and ideas and opinions. May we leave here tonight more convinced that we need to walk in the Spirit of God and live and know the Word of God if we're going to know the real from the unreal. Now help me in Jesus' name. Fill me with thy Spirit. Speak through me. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake, amen. You may be seated. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try these spirits, whether they are of God. In our text, we're instructed by God to try the spirits. That means to put them to a certain kind of test to see if they be of God or they're not of God. We are, by this test, to discern and label them by the proper test whether they be of God or they're not of God. By the way, some of you that say, well, we're not to judge, taking that out of context, we are to judge right from wrong. We are to judge what is from God and of God and not of God. And he tells us how we're to try it. How in the world can we know right from wrong? The instruction of our text tells us that there are more than one spirit at work in the world today. Try the spirits, see if they be of God. In the Word of God, we're told of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and ministering spirits, that's good angels, that minister for the well-being of the child of God. And then there is a whole list of others that are against God, the spirit of the flesh. That's man's depraved spirit, lust, pride, jealousy, selfishness, hatred, and so forth. The spirit of devils, Revelation 16:4. I could quote many verses. The spirit of Antichrist, unclean spirits, evil spirits, foul spirits, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, another spirit, seducing spirits, just some of the many things that are mentioned in the Scripture that we must be aware of and evidently are so disguised that many good-meaning people are deceived by these spirits into thinking they're of God and are led into error and sin. By the way, that seducing spirits simply means that they literally take over our lives. They lead us astray. They lead us to do wrong. We're warned in God's word that all around us, the spirit world is at work. They're not all for the Christian. Not all are on our side. Not all are for our good. In fact, with the exception of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the ministering spirit, the good angels ministering to us, the majority of the rest of them are against us and against God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, that we need to arm ourselves with special armament in order that we may stand up to these spirits and withstand them when they attack us. Our text tells us in verse 1 that we need special discernment that we might detect the false and wrong spirits in people who try to deceive us as well as influence us with their lies. Our text lets us know that Christians can be attacked by the false spirits, the evil spirits, the seducing spirits. We cannot be possessed like the maniac of Gadara was possessed, but we can be deceived. We can be led astray by the spirits. We can be hurt, and our life and usefulness can be destroyed if we follow them. By way of getting started tonight, let me just ask a question. Which spirits are affecting your life? Which spirits are leading and controlling you? What spirits are you following? Is it of God? Do you even know? Could it be an unclean spirit as spoken of in the Scripture? Could it be the spirit of Antichrist deceiving and leading away from the will of God? Could it be the spirit of flesh tries to get you to live by the flesh, make decisions according to flesh, and to please the flesh? Or is it the Holy Spirit of God who leads you in the path of right, who convicts us when we're wrong, who empowers us that we might be able to serve God? Now, John tells us some simple ways to try the spirits to see if they be of God or not of God. Now, I want to point out a few of those tonight from chapter 4, just some simple facts that will help us to be able to try the spirits and not be deceived by false spirits, evil spirits, the spirit of Antichrist, seducing spirits, and on and on and on. Number one, false spirits and false prophets are to be tried and revealed as false by the Word of God. The Word of God, the most important tool we have in dealing with false spirits and false prophets, knowing the real from the unreal, is this blessed old book called the Bible. Now, I'm sticking to the old King James Bible. I know it's not been revised by the modern revisers of Scripture. Yes, it's not in Victorian English as it was originally written. This old book is the Word of God. There hasn't been scores of verses left out of it. Every revision, new passages are left out completely or changed, and many times affects their doctrinal meaning. Now, it's no accident that this is happening today. If it is by this book that we can know the real from the unreal, and it's by this book that we try the spirits to see if they be of God, and if it's by this book we can resist the devil and he'll flee from us, then it seems to me that number one attack of the devil is to destroy and take away from this blessed book. Better know the Bible. All of it. Know it. You say, what part of the Bible is not important to me? All of it's important to us. Because it all makes a whole, a complete. It all presents a complete story, a complete testimony, a complete text, complete doctrine. When I married my wife, I did not want part of her. I wanted all of her. If I'm going to live for Jesus, I can't just settle for part of the book. And I don't want a bunch of dingbats that may have doctor's degrees behind their name and all of the so-called qualification that can't even, that don't even realize that homosexuality is wrong and abortion is wrong. I don't want them deciding what portions of the scripture are right for us and what's not. This book is the tool that we use to try the spirits. If they don't meet the test of scripture, if they're teaching things that are not validated by the Word of God, label them as false, evil, not of God, and get away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't send them money. Don't attend their services. If what they are teaching and preaching does not agree with this teaching, the teachings of Scripture, I'm talking about the general plain teachings of Scripture, not one verse taken out of its context. If it is not supported by the teachings of this book, label them as false prophets, false teachers. And if they are false prophets, guess who they are empowered and controlled by? False spirits, evil spirits, spirits of Antichrist, spirits of devils, not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, my dear friend, this is the primary way to discern between spirits of evil or good. It's not how well he's dressed. It's not whether he's got the televangelist hairdo. It's not by how much money they make. It's not by whether they drive big cars and fly jet airplanes. Whether they're real or false is determined by this blessed book. If what they preach does not agree with this book, label them as false. Don't support them, don't listen to them, don't go around them. Get away from them. Be afraid of them. Listen. I don't want to be a part of somebody who is controlled by evil spirits. Spirit of devils. Spirit of Antichrist. That's not what we're a part of. I don't decide whether they're good, they're right or wrong by how cute they are, or pretty they are, or handsome. This book is the deciding factor. Try them by the Word of God. Someone says to us, you've got to be baptized to be saved. Is that what the Bible teaches? If they're teaching a salvation other than what the Bible teaches, then they're deceived. They're wrong. Where'd they get that idea? What are they going to contribute? Are they going to help or hurt? Are they going to send people to heaven or hell by the heresy they teach? The book decides. That's the reason so many Baptists are duped and deceived by Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, false cults, Islam, on and on and on, because we don't know the book. That's an indictment against every preacher and every pastor, every church, every Sunday school teacher, every Christian parent. I've got to move on. I could preach a message right there. Number two, how are we going to try the spirits? We try them by finding out who the spirit exalts. If the Spirit exalts himself, or if the Spirit, if that person exalts himself, he's not of God. Look at verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. So, who does the Spirit of God exalt? Well, Jesus said, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will magnify me, Jesus said. The job of the Holy Spirit is not to magnify the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is not to magnify some preacher or person. The job of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Jesus Christ and exalt Jesus Christ. And beware of the preacher that always brags on himself and he tells you how wonderful he is. Beware of the preacher whose theme is not Jesus, but self or other preachers. The Holy Spirit's going to lead the man of God to preach Jesus and exalt Jesus and magnify Jesus. Now, in doing this, there's certain things. Number one, a preacher empowered by a spirit that confesses the incarnation, that Jesus has come in the flesh, is of God, the Bible says. A person that does not believe the incarnation, does not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and became the God-man, as much God as if he had never been man, as much man as if he had been God, does not believe in the message of the virgin birth that is part of the incarnation story, the Bible says he's not of God. Why, if they preach a salvation from a Savior that was not virgin born, they're preaching a lie. They're preaching a message that offers no hope. Because any Savior that was not virgin born can't even save himself. He's a sinner. Holy Spirit never magnifies the Holy Spirit even. The Holy Spirit doesn't magnify the preacher. The Holy Spirit doesn't magnify the building. Isn't it amazing how we get off course many times and we begin to emphasize the preacher, we begin to talk about how beautiful the facilities are, and there's nothing wrong with appreciating your pastor and wanting a nice building to worship God. But let me tell you, it's not about the building, it's not about God, it's about Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is involved, he will magnify Christ, who is our all in all. Yes, to try the Spirit. Listen to whom the Spirit speaks, about whom the Spirit speaks. Do they magnify Christ? Do they magnify heavenly things, spiritual things, biblical truth? If they do, then they're of God. Do they magnify the world, worldly activity? Then they're not of God. Not of God. Try the spirits. You know, the Bible's very plain to tell us what the work of the flesh is. And then every now and then, someone who's been doing the work of the flesh, they'll say, well, I just feel God led me to do this. God allowed me. Liar, liar, pants on fire. God don't lead us to do wrong. God does not lead us to contradict His word. You got the wrong spirit. You better get concerned about which spirit you're following and who you're listening to. Fourthly, we can try the spirits by knowing that the Spirit of God speaks of love, not hate and revenge. You listen to it. Look at verse 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only Son. His only a begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Talking about Christians. Every now and then I'll hear people that say, well, bless God, I've been hurt and I hate that person. I can't forgive them. Well, you're controlled by a wrong spirit. You're controlled by the devil. Evil spirits, false spirits, seducing spirits, spirit of Antichrist. You're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. You say, how do you know that? Because God said, if you don't love your brethren, fellow Christians, even if they've hurt you, if all you're out is to hate them and seek revenge, that is not of God. That's the influence of the wrong kind of spirits in your life. Let me tell you, you better be careful. You don't understand how evil and wicked and harmful and destructive evil spirits and spirits of devils can be in the Christian's life. They don't have to live in us. Their influence over us can be devastating. And the truth is, we ought to be scared to death just thinking about it. You've never been in that situation. Because if you have, there's a fear inside of you concerning Satan and evil spirits that cause me to tremble when I think about them. We're not talking about play talk. We're talking about big stuff in the Christian life. You better listen to me tonight. The Spirit of God speaks of love, not hate and revenge. The Spirit of God, God's love for us was so even when we were sinful. God loved us. Jesus didn't become the propitiation for our sin when we became good boys and girls. But while we were wicked and evil and against God, the Spirit of God helps Christians to love one another. Loving Christian. When I talk about loving one another, I'm talking about from the spiritual sense. The same kind of love with which God loved us. I'm not talking about carnal, selfish, sinful, sexual, lustful. I'm talking about loving each other like Christ loved us. A forgiving love. A love that goes beyond our faults. A love that doesn't seek revenge and build hatred within us. But a love that reconciles, a love that forgives, a love that cares. He's talking about a love in a Christian loving those that are lost and without God. God does not want us to look at the brethren, even though they may be living wrong, as our enemy. He wants us to love them and seek to help them and restore them, not condone them, not tolerate them, not turn our head from their sin, but love them in spite of what they've done and who they are, just like God loved us. But he wants us to love the lost too. And may I say, loving the lost does not condone their sin. It does not overlook their sin. It does not tolerate their sin. God loved us, but he was quick to label us as sinners and point out our sin and our need of redemption. But when the Spirit of God is at work in our life, he doesn't speak of hatred and revenge. He speaks of love. And let me say to you, I've heard some of you say, well, so-and-so hurt me and I hate them and I can't forgive them. Well, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is not controlling your life. You have quenched him. You have grieved him. You're allowing the spirit of devils, the evil spirits, the seducing spirits, the spirit of Antichrist, everything that's against God and the Bible, you're allowing them to control your life and influence your life. Fifthly, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, reveals our position in relationship to God. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our life, we don't live in fears and tremblings and doubts and uncertainty. When we have to rededicate our life to God every other week and get assurance that we're saved, it's not the Holy Spirit that's in charge of our life. It's those other kind. You see, the Spirit of God helps bring us assurance. Let's just read some verses. Look at verse number 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, reveals our position in relationship to Christ. We're made to know, first of all, by the Spirit of God, that we're saved. The Bible says he is a witness in us. He is a reassuring witness within us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in the Christian, and he confirms and reaffirms and assures us that if we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, our sins are forgiven. Our name's written in glory. We've been born again. We're saved. Heaven is our home. And nothing on this earth, under the earth, or spirits around the earth can undo what God has done. He is a witness within us. The Spirit of God reveals our position in relationship to Christ by his action in us. The Holy Spirit of God produces love for one another, verse 12. And it produces love for God. And the Spirit of God in us reveals our confession and witness to others. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in us. Now, it's not just talking about running around and saying, I confess that Jesus is of God. Jesus is God. It's talking about witnessing and confessing to a lost world that Jesus is God. The lost world needs to know that Jesus in God is in us. And one of the ways they know that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior is we confess Him to a lost world. We confess Him before our church by believers' baptism, but we're to keep on confessing it day in and day out to others. And by the way, if we don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world, if we don't witness to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, tell me who in this world is. Not those controlled by the evil spirits and the seducing spirits. The maniac of Gadara wasn't running around witnessing for Jesus. Until after the evil spirits were cast out, he got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in. He wanted to be at Jesus' feet and go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back to your home and tell them what great things I've done for you, didn't you? By the way, those of you that make excuses never to confess Christ and witness about Christ to a lost world, you're not doing much to advocate your faith in Christ and your relationship with Christ. Sixthly, another evidence of the Holy Spirit of God and not the other spirits is in us. The Spirit of God gives boldness for service and standing in tough times. Look at verse 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. By the way, we talk about it, the judgment of the Christian at the judgment seat of Christ, being a time of rewarding and so forth, but the truth is, when I think about my life and how little I've done for Jesus Christ in relationship to what I could have done and perhaps what the will of God's perfect will for my life is, I get to thinking about that and I tremble. Not because I think I'm going to stand there unsaved. That's not my fear. My fear is standing before God and I've not lived for Him. I've not fulfilled His will. I've not glorified Him with my life. I've not honored Him with my witness. But oh, when we walk in the Spirit of God, He gives us boldness for that day. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to do the will of God and fulfill the will of God. I don't know people walking in the Spirit of God that's out backslidden tonight. Those that are in the flesh and those that are influenced by these other spirits we've talked about, they lead us away from the will of God. I'm telling you, living a Spirit-controlled, a Spirit-filled life gives us boldness when we think about that day of judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, if you're allowing these other spirits to be your influence and the controlling factor in your life, and you're saved, but you're listening to them, not to the Holy Spirit, you're following them, not the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, you ought to be fearful. You're not running around singing, "Oh, happy day." Because you know that when you stand before God, all of the flesh and the lust and the rebellion and the hatred and the selfishness and the antichrist spirits controlling you are going to be revealed. You're going to have to stand before the one who loved you so much he died for you on that old rugged cross and let him know you only used him for a fire escape from hell. You didn't follow him and love him and obey him and allow the Spirit of God to control you that you might fulfill his will and glorify and magnify him with your life. Spirit of God in us gives us boldness for witness and service here, and gives us boldness to stand in tough times. Boldness is seen in confidence in Christ when we stand before Him. Boldness to speak for Christ, even in the midst of trials and testings, instead of running away in cowering fear. Let me say one more time in conclusion tonight that the Spirit of God reveals Himself by leading us to a forgiving heart. Look at verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And I say again, if you do not have a love for the people of God in your heart, if you don't like to be, I hear Christians say, well, I just don't like to be around Christians. Well, something's wrong in here, and I'll tell you what's wrong. The wrong person is controlling you. You're following the wrong spirit. You're being seduced by evil spirits. For the Spirit of God leads one to a forgiving heart. Hey, husbands, that means we're to forgive our wives. And wives, that means we're to forgive our husband and not hold a grudge against him for the next 6 months. But you don't know. I don't care. The Spirit of God leads to a forgiving heart. Not judging and grudging and hating. You see, you forget what a mess we were when Christ loved us and forgave us. You were not heaven's honey or heaven's jewel. You were hell's mess. And yet He loved us. He didn't love us only after He saved us, but He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Well, bless God, if they'd just change, I could learn to love them. Well, that's flesh and those other spirits talking. The Spirit of Christ can learn to love them without condemning them. Not necessarily tolerating and condoning, but loving them enough to do something to help them for Christ's sake. Christ never condoned our sin. He never tolerated our sin. But He loved us, and His love moved Him to do something about our sin problem. He died on that old rugged cross for us. Now let me wind all of this up. Can you say that you're led and controlled by the Holy Spirit? If you are, then according to 1 John 4, Christ will be exalted in your life and by your life. He'll be first in your life, your actions, and your decisions. If you're led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you'll value spiritual treasure more than earthly treasures. If the Holy Spirit of God controls and fills your life, then there'll be an overflow of God's love in your life. Not hate and revenge. If you are led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you'll know that you're saved and heaven is your home. If you're led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, then you'll be faithful and bold in your witness and in your service for God. And if you are led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you'll be slow to anger and quick to forgive. If the Holy Spirit of God is not the Spirit in control of your life, then what spirit is it? Is it the devil? The spirit of Antichrist? evil spirits, seducing spirits, unclean spirits, the spirit of the flesh. We're commanded as Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And God wants His children to try the spirits that work in and against our life to see if they be of God. If they're not of God, get away from them. If it meets the test of Scripture, then realize God in His Holy Spirit is trying to help you and teach you and lead you. Who is that Spirit that has the greatest influence in your life? Whether you know it or not, it can be seen by your life and mine, by our actions, by our witness, by our dress, on and on. Preach the message tonight, because if we're saved, there ought to be a desire in us to be filled and controlled by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. What desires in your heart tonight? Father, just a simple message, a frightful message, because what I preached tonight was not a fairy tale. It was not something from Disney. It was not some TV series. It was from the Word of God about real existing spirits that are trying to destroy our life and wreck our future. Lord, the devil knows that he cannot take the Christian to hell. But if we listen to the wrong spirit, the seducing spirit, the spirit of devils, unclean spirits, before long our life will become a hell on earth. Our testimony will be destroyed. Our usefulness will be gone. And we'll live in regret and shame and fear because we've wasted our opportunity to glorify and magnify You and to serve You. Speak to our hearts tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes